We're going to continue our series this morning about fighting the good fight. You know, we talk about what do we do in this day and time, the struggles that we have as believers, the spiritual battles that take place in our faith that happen daily. And we're called, as Paul encourages Timothy, and he says, fight the good fight of the faith. And we're called to do the exact same. As believers, we are to fight the good fight. And so we've been walking through this idea of and truth of spiritual warfare. And what does that mean for us? How do we continue on? And now more than ever, it's important. I believe that we need to hear what God's word says about how to withstand the attacks of Satan. I mean, let's be honest. Right now, with what is happening in the world today, it doesn't take much to turn on the TV. Our heads start spinning and our minds start wandering, and we begin to lose kind of the grip of reality as fear begins to take over. Now more than ever, we need to fight the good fight of our faith. And what does that mean for us? So this morning, go ahead and open up your Bibles to Ephesians. We're going to be back in Ephesians chapter 6 as we've been walking through part of the essential equipment that we have to fight this fight. It's the armor of God. And so we're moving on to the next piece of that armor. And I'm just excited to be able to share this morning about faith and what this idea and truth of our faith and how important it is to live out our faith every day. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6 as you're turning there. And if you're able, would you stand as we read God's word this morning? So here's what God's word says in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 13. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power that's in your word. Holy Spirit, move and work in us, wherever we may be today. Work in us, change us, transform us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I was reminded today, and this story is one of my favorite little stories I was reminded of today, about a man who was hiking one day and he fell off a cliff. And as he was falling, he grabbed hold of a tree that was sticking out of the side of the cliff, and he was holding on for dear life. And as he's holding there, he's beginning to panic and begins to cry out, looking up and say, help me, somebody help me. And all of a sudden, a voice from heaven comes down and says, this is the Lord. I am here. And the man screams out again, help me, Lord, help me. And he says, I am the Lord. Do you believe me? I can help you. Just let go. And the man looks back up and goes, is there anyone else up there? Sometimes our faith is like that, isn't it? I mean, we know the words to say. We know how we're supposed to act. If we're believers, we know what the Bible says, that we're to have faith even in difficult situations. And then all of a sudden, we're put in a situation kind of like what we're experiencing now in our world today, or maybe it's family issues, maybe it's marriage issues, but we begin to feel the storms coming, we begin to experience those things that kind of rock our world a little bit, and now it begins to look a little different when we talk about faith. How are we to have faith? Now, when we look in Ephesians chapter 6, we recognize that spiritual warfare is real. And Paul is very clear about this, that every day we are in a battle. Now listen, we know we win the war. We get that. We know that. We have confidence in that. But every day we're in this battle, a spiritual battle that Satan is attacking. Satan is wanting to push us away from the Lord, to knock us off our game so that we will not be able to follow after him and bring him glory in this world. He wants us to take a path that he wants us to take, not what the Lord wants us to take. So we have this fight, this battle that takes place every day, and many times it's a difficult battle that we face. And so in situations like that, we experience those questions about our faith. If you've experienced this, you know what I'm talking about. As Satan begins to bring in doubt, as he even tempts us, and sometimes we slip and we fall into that temptation, and whatever it may be, but we begin to experience guilt or shame or whatever it may be, comfort, whatever is causing us to fall away from the Lord and following after Him wholeheartedly, we experience all those things, and now our faith just seems a little weaker as we try to live out this Christian journey. And so we ask ourselves, what is the faith that we need? What does that look like for us today? So we looked at earlier as we walked through the armor of God, and if you've been with us the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've talked about those pieces of armor in this spiritual battle, and they're all important. We just read over them that, you know, we talk about the belt of truth, and we talk about the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes that we wear, the gospel of peace. All those are very important pieces, obviously. All that dealing with our relationship with Jesus, all of it essential in our living out of our faith and walking in this world today. Everything is so powerful and important. Now, as we begin to step into that next piece, as we talk about this faith, and Paul uses the illustration of a shield. It's the shield of faith that we have in our life. He looks at it a little differently. So I want you to turn back, if you have your Bibles, to Ephesians 6. I just want to look at this verse again, and I want you to kind of underline it, circle it. If you have your Bibles, if you don't, that's great too. But listen, in verse 16, what we find is a little different kind of wordage that Paul uses compared to the other pieces of armor. And I want to highlight that before we move on and talk about this faith that we are to have. So he says this in the other pieces of armor. He says, put on the belt of truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the shoes of the feet of having the readiness of the gospel of peace. But then he comes on in verse 16 and he says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. And so it gives us a different picture of this piece of armor that is so important for us today. So I want to look at verse 16 and I want to just kind of pick apart a few things. First thing is this. It says, in all circumstances. What does that mean? Well, I believe Paul is showing us that the shield of faith is vital. It is important. Now, don't get me wrong. Every piece of armor is important. Matter of fact, when we talk about the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the shoes of the gospel of peace, those things are important and they protect us in a powerful way. But here's what I always equate it to, and I read this just the other day too, is this. Think about a football player that has his equipment on. So he has his shoulder pads and his thigh pads, hip pads, everything is on, knee pads, all that stuff. He has his helmet on. He's playing the game. When he comes off the field and he goes and he sits down, he's going to leave his shoulder pads on. He's going to leave his thigh pads on. He's not getting rid of those. Those stay on, but he puts his helmet over on the side, right? So anything he can take off, he's going to put over on the side. And then when he goes back out again, he's going to put those things back on. So I equate, really, the shoulder pads, all those things, I equate that to the first three pieces of armor that we've talked about. The breastplate of righteousness, the shoes, the belt of truth. Listen, those don't go anywhere. That we have that through Jesus Christ, and it is amazing and powerful. We put those on, and listen, as we walk daily, we know that those are on, and God is using that and protecting us through that. Then we talk about the shield of faith. This is something that we take up. I think this is something that is so vital and important, and so he's saying, in all circumstances, take up. He's saying this, it is so important. Every time you wake up, every time you take a step, make sure that you have your faith ready to go. Because listen, we have the breastplate and we have the belt of truth. And I can tell you this, when Satan attacks, we're going to be protected. Like, Satan's not going to kill us or anything like that. But let me tell you, without the shield of faith, we will be wounded. We'd be wounded so much that it makes it difficult to live out our faith daily. And so if we have the shield of faith ready to go, listen, that's an extra piece of protection that we have in our life. And so Paul is saying, listen, in all circumstances, every day, you have all these other pieces, but every day, make sure you have the shield of faith. And he says, take it up. Take it up. It means this, that you have to make some decisions. Where is your faith and how strong is your faith today? And what are you willing to do to make your faith stronger in Jesus. And so it's an incredible word picture that Paul throws out to us. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. And then he says, why? Why are these things important? Why should we have that extra protection, that shield of faith in our life? Because he says, with it, you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Man, can I tell you, that should be eye-opening to us. He's saying this, listen, Satan is attacking us daily. And we need all the protection we can get. We need all of Jesus we can get in our life. And that shield of faith protects you against the flaming darts and arrows that he is sending your way. And I don't know about you, but we see these every day. And what that looks like is temptation coming your way. It could be doubt. It could be anxiety. It could be fear. These arrows that are being shot at you. Paul is saying, listen, be prepared in all circumstances. Have that faith ready to go, because it's going to happen. You're going to be attacked, and it's going to be pretty vicious. So let me just stop right there for a second. And this is something that we need to kind of look at, and it's important. When you think about the shield and why Paul used this illustration of a shield. And so thinking of the Roman soldier, shields were important. They were vital, as I was saying earlier. And there were several kinds of different shields. Probably the one that we think of right off the bat are the little round shields that you have your arm through. It has a leather strap, and you know, soldiers use that, and it's very easy to move around. You have a little sword, and it's easy to maneuver and things like that. But that's not the shield that Paul is talking about. So what he is talking about is a different one. This shield is huge. So this shield, and the one he's talking about, is over 4 feet tall, over 2 feet wide, and it's covered with some kind of animal skin or hide, sometimes has metal on it. Many times it's soaked in some kind of liquid or oil. And so these are the shields that these soldiers would carry. Now thinking about history, now those guys and those ones that were fighting weren't exactly the same height as we are now, a little shorter. So really those shields almost cover their whole body. I mean, they're huge. But again, they are vital as they go into battle, because they have these big shields. And so when the arrows do come, and I think it's important that Paul says they're flames, so they're on fire, these arrows that are being shot into the direction of these soldiers, they have this shield. And if it's soaked in liquid, some kind of water or oil or something, when those arrows come and stick, it extinguishes the flame. And that was the picture that we have in this shield. Now listen, as we look at our faith, it's the same picture. Our faith should be so strong that when the arrows and the darts, the flaming darts come from Satan, that when they do attack, we have the shield of faith that can extinguish the flames, so the flames don't do damage in our life, and we're able to continue on and to fight on. So Paul uses some great imagery of a shield. And so I just want to ask you this morning, as we think about the shield of faith, where we are in our world today, how's your faith? How's your faith? Is it intact? Is it on fire and passionate? Is it stronger than ever? Or has it been waning just a little bit because of the things of this world? Or maybe it's because of sin in our life, but it's caused us to weaken just a little bit in our faith, and it's caused us to cower back a little bit, and we live in fear because of what's happening around us. I want to talk about faith just for a moment, and so that we can be ready, so that we can fight the good fight. Paul uses the shield. So let's talk about this shield that we have in our life. And if you have your notes, that is great. You can go online to HamptonFBC.org and go onto the online section and find our notes. We have them on a QR code out there. We're not handing them out right now. That's just one of those things with the corona. But if you do have it, that's great. But let's look at the foundation of our faith. So I want to go back and just kind of talk about our faith a little bit, so that we can kind of strengthen that today, and we can go out and we can fight this good fight in a way that's glorifying to God. And so first thing is this: as we talk about foundation of faith, I want you to hear that our faith is rooted in Christ, not our circumstances. Our faith is rooted in Christ and not our circumstances. Think about that for a second. You know, we have faith. Everybody has faith in something. I mean, let's just be honest. You had faith enough to get into a car and come here. You have faith enough to come into the church during coronavirus time. You have faith. Listen, when you get on an airplane, you have faith that this airplane is going to get you from point A to point B. You have faith in something. Now, here's the important part of our faith as believers is to make sure that the object or the person that we have our faith in is truly worthy of that faith, and that's Jesus. And so we ask the question, is our faith rooted in anything else or anyone else other than Jesus? So the foundational truth of our faith is that it's rooted in Christ and not our circumstances. If you think about the word faith and what that truly means is this. It just means we believe in God, we believe in who He is, and we trust Him that He's going to do what He says He's going to do, and He is who He says He is. And so if we know who Jesus is and we trust in Jesus and we give Him our life, then our faith should be rooted in Jesus, knowing that He is who He says He is and He's going to do what He says He's going to do. Now see, the opposite of that is putting our faith in circumstance. And I don't know about you, but circumstances can kind of get a little shady and shaky in our day and time. And maybe you've experienced that in your life too. That our circumstances change and they're like a roller coaster, that sometimes they're good and that sometimes they're not so good. And sometimes we're living great and sometimes we're struggling. Listen, our circumstances change with the weather. Our students, you know, for Henry County, they're thinking they're going back August 3rd. Now they're going back August 17th. And now they're online. We're hoping to get into the schools. Listen, your circumstances change all the time, but Jesus never changes. And so we ask the question, where do we put our faith? Where is it rooted? Colossians 2, verses 6 through 7 says this, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." I love this. Listen, it says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Our foundation is built upon Jesus. And the more we build our faith on Him, the more that we rest our faith in Him, then the circumstances just don't seem to matter as much. So we ask again, is our faith rooted in Christ or is it rooted in our circumstances? 2 Corinthians 5 says this, it says, "So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight." Listen, we're able to walk through our circumstances, no matter what they are, because our faith is rooted in Jesus. But not only that, not only is our faith rooted in Jesus, but listen, our faith is based on fact, not on feeling. Our faith is based on fact, not on feeling. Now, I want you to know, for me, as I was kind of reading through and studying this passage and this message today, this point for me was mind-blowing for me. It was altering for me because it puts everything in perspective for me. Because when I begin to think that my faith and how I live out my faith and how I trust in the Lord and how I lean in on Him, all of that is not based on whether I'm happy or whether I'm sad or whether people are happy with me or not happy with me. It's not based on good times or bad times. Listen, it is all based on fact. And here's what I mean by that. There are days when we wake up in the morning, and maybe you're like this. There are days we wake up in the morning and we just don't feel loved. There are days that we wake up in the morning that we feel guilty. There are days that we doubt, is what I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing? There are days that we wake up and we feel like we have no friend. We walk around sometimes and our hearts are heavy because we feel like we have no purpose in our world today. See, if we rested on feelings, listen, Satan can have a heyday. We're wide open. If he sees an inch open, he's going to attack right in our weakness. If we walk in our days every day and thinking this, I'm just not worthy, or I'm just not good enough, or I'm all these things. Listen, if our life and our faith is based on feelings, then Satan's going to have a heyday. So I want you to know that our faith is built and based upon fact. fact. And what is this fact? It's God's word. God's word and the promises of God. So when we feel in those days we have those feelings of not being loved, we can look at God's word, and the fact is this, is that God is love and that he loves you and he loves me. As a matter of fact, he sent his son to die on the cross for you and for me. Why? Because he loves you. When we live and we walk and we see the chaos of the world and we feel like it's pointless or we don't have a purpose, can I tell you, we can look at the fact that we do have a purpose to share the gospel with all people. We have a purpose because we're his workmanship. Listen, we look at fact. When we think that everything is going crazy and there's no hope, we can look in God's word, and the fact is that we have hope and that this is just temporary and we're going to be in heaven with him someday. Listen, we base our faith not on feelings. We base our faith on fact. And the fact is this, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that God is still on his throne. And listen, you know, my friend Melissa was here this morning, and she texted me after the service. She said, Craig, there aren't enough masks in this world to keep us from getting coronavirus. Only God can do that. Listen, when we feel like we can't do anything anymore, when we feel like we are out of control, listen, we look at the fact that God is still in control. You see, our faith is not based on feelings. It's based on fact. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I love 2 Timothy in chapter 1, verse 12. It says, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. I love that verse, Paul saying, I know whom I believed, and I am convinced. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I know the truth. I know the fact. And even though I'm put in prison, even though I am beaten, even though I'm persecuted, I know the truth. I know the facts. He is convinced in who Jesus is in his life. And listen, that makes all the difference. Today, I just want to encourage you, base your faith on the fact and the truth of God's word, not on how we feel. Because if you're like me, it's a roller coaster. I mean, I turn on a Hallmark commercial, man, and I start to go, oh, it's so sad. I'm looking forward. By the way, there's a lot of new Hallmark Christmas movies that are coming up. I'm just going to tell you that, and I'll give you my man card too. All right, listen, if it's built on feelings, then we would be in for trouble, but it's not. It's based on fact. I saw this little poem. It said this: three men were walking on a wall, feeling, faith, and fact, when feeling took an awful fall and faith was taken aback. So close was faith to feeling, he stumbled and fell too, but fact remained and pulled faith back, and faith brought feeling too. So listen, the fact, the truth of God's word, that's what it's built. It's a little, I guess, broad stroke of what this faith is that we hold on to. So how do we make it stronger? So just for a few minutes, I just want to encourage you by just sharing a few things that we can do to make our faith stronger. How do we get this shield of faith and fuel it and make it strong in our life? And I just want to say the first thing is this: actively put your trust in God. Today, actively put your trust in God. You're saying, Craig, I don't know exactly what that means. I love Psalm 27. It says this: some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. In Matthew 9, 27, it says this: and as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, have mercy on us, son of David. And when he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it done to you. And their eyes were open. Listen, we're going to have to actively trust in God. I think many times as believers in this day and time, it is easy to passively watch how this world is working and passively kind of sit back and do our own thing. But can I tell you, we're not called to be passive in our faith. We're called to be active as we actively trust in Him. And what does that mean for us? What does it mean to actively trust? It means putting into action. It means it's not enough just to think it or to read it. It's actually, you need to actually take that step and trust in Him. There was a missionary that was translating the Bible in a native tongue, and it's been a while. And he was sitting in there in his hut in the middle of this tribe, and he was slowly but surely translating the Bible into their dialect, into their tongue, in native tongue. And he got to the word faith, and he couldn't figure out how to translate it for them to understand. It was such a difficult word for them to understand. So as he was doing his work and translating, a local tribesman came into his hut and walked over and sat down in a little chair that the missionary had. And as the tribalman sat down in it, he made this comment. He goes, oh, in his native tongue, he said, I love this chair. I can put my full weight on it. Do you know what it means to actively trust Jesus? It means to put the full weight of your life into him. It means to put everything that you are, all of your dreams, all of your hopes, your day, everything you have, you put it all on Jesus because he is faithful. Listen, we are to actively trust and put all the weight of our life into him. It's time to pull that weight away from all in our families, or maybe it's a spouse that we've put all of our weight into. Maybe it's a job that we put all our weight into. Maybe it's just being successful that we put all. Listen, it's time to put all of our weight into Jesus. Listen, everything else works out, but we put all of our weight onto him. We trust in him. So what is that going to look like, and how do we do that? Well, one is this: refocus. If we want to actively trust in him, refocus, it means this, that we have been setting our gaze on the things of the world and setting our eyes on the things that are temporary, the things that are circumstantial, and now we need to refocus onto the promises of God. Refocus our eyes on who he is, our hearts on who he is, refocus on what his word says and his promises. We have to refocus. But then don't just refocus, remain. Remain there, stand strong on what you know to be true in his promises. Don't be swayed by the temptations that are out there that Satan throws out at us, but be sure and grounded in the truths and the promises of God. And not just to refocus and remain, but also respond. That it's not enough just to refocus and remain standing on his promises, but now we have to walk in trust. You see, this idea of faith is closely tied to obedience. It's hard to say I have faith and not be obedient to Jesus. And you can't be obedient to Jesus if you have no faith. You see, it goes hand in hand. And so we don't just remain standing on the truth of his promises. We respond by following after him. So listen, if you want to actively trust in God, then let's turn and focus in on him. Let's stand strong on his promises. And let's take a step of faith. Let's move forward in him. Let's be obedient to him. I can't tell you how much easier it would be to sit back on our couch and watch TV every day. That's not what God has called us to do. He's called us to live out our faith. Even in these difficult days, he's called us to live our faith out, to be active as we share the gospel with our neighbors and with our coworkers. We're called to move, and we do that in faith. We're not called to cower back in our rooms and shut our doors so Satan doesn't come around. But listen, we're called to get out and to proclaim the gospel, knowing that we're going to be in a spiritual battle and trusting God every step of the way. May we actively trust God. And the last thing is this: we need to daily feed our faith. Daily feed our faith. When I was in college, I had several majors, actually, because I took the extended route of college years. But my major that I ended up with is a Bachelor of Social Work. I don't know if you know much about social work and social workers, but actually social work is one of the highest turnover rates of jobs in our country. And it's because, for the most part, many of them deal with kids that are in hard and bad and difficult situations, families, wives, husbands, something that's going on, some kind of abuse, but also neglect as a part of that abuse. And so they experience that all the time. They go into homes that where these kids have been neglected. It's devastating. I think about that, and I think about our spiritual life. And can I just tell you that I think as believers, we neglect our spiritual life. I think we starve ourselves spiritually by not diving in to who God is. And because we neglect spiritually our lives, we are vulnerable to hurt. We're vulnerable to the attacks of Satan. And so when I talk about feeding your faith, what I mean by that is really two things. One is prayer. You and I need to be constantly in prayer. Listen, I know this, just being married to Amy, if I go a day without speaking to Amy, I'm in trouble. You know what I mean? So we have to communicate. We have to talk. Listen, if you're going to expect to walk in this world and stand your ground against Satan as he shoots these arrows at you, then you better be in communication with God. You better be talking to him. You better be spending time with him and communicating with him because, listen, that's where your strength comes from. And so if we're going to win these daily battles and have victory, it's going to come from our communication with our Heavenly Father. And so prayer is vital. And here's the other thing. Listen, if you feel like today your faith is a little weaker, and for whatever reason it may be, but you feel like, I just don't have that strong, powerful faith to take those steps of obedience, then listen, prayer is essential because that's where you begin asking God to strengthen your faith. And listen, there's nothing wrong with asking God to strengthen your faith. Matter of fact, in Scripture, it talks about this. I love the story about the boy who was possessed by an unclean spirit. In Mark chapter 9, verse 21 through 24, here's what it says. It says, Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." But then here's what it says. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." That's what he said. Can I tell you, it would make a difference night and day in your life and in my life if every day we start our day off, "Jesus, help my faith be strong. Strengthen my faith today. Help me believe even more than ever before. Strengthen my faith." Prayer is vital in our faith today. But also, the other part of that is Scripture. If you want to fuel your faith, God's Word is key. And I want to encourage you to stay in God's Word daily, reading God's Word, studying God's Word. And listen, Romans 10:17 says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." If you want to be able to live out this faith in a way that is strong and powerful through Jesus and extinguishing the arrows of Satan, then listen, you're going to have God's word hidden in your heart. And what does that look like? Listen, I think that sometimes we think God's word and taking in God's word is really relegated to just 15 minutes maybe in the morning or 15 minutes at night, and which those aren't, that's not a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. We need to have that quiet time with the Lord. But if you want to stand against the devil's schemes, God's word has to always be in front of you. It has to always be there. And so here's what I want to challenge you to do as we think about fueling our faith. Is not just spend that time in the morning. I want you to do that. Or at night as you open up God's word and have a devotion time or spend time with him. That is so important. But I want you to write down God's word and I want you to put it in front of you. Maybe that's on the mirror in the bathroom so that when you walk into the bathroom, you see that verse. Maybe it's on your desk, at your work, on your computer, but you have that verse right in front of you. Maybe it's in your car. So as you get cut off by another car, the first thing you look at is Scripture right in front of you. You know how to handle it. Listen, you put Scripture in front of you. Carry Scripture with you. Put something in your pocket. You know, they make Bibles so small now. Put them in your pocket so when you have a few minutes, pick up God's Word and just read. Listen, it's important for God's Word to always be before us. For us to always be in taking of God's word into our life because that's where our strength comes from. Listen, fuel your faith through God's word. You know, this battle that we're in is pretty vicious, like I said, and it's important that we recognize all the pieces of the armor. All of them are vital. All of them are Jesus. And so it's so important. But can I just encourage you today, check your faith. Where is your faith? What's it in? And I pray that it's in the right place in Jesus. And if that's where it is, then I want to encourage you with this. Listen, especially during this time, as Satan does his best to knock us off our game, listen, don't fear and don't get weary. Listen, don't fear and don't get weary today. Listen, as we continue to walk in our faith and continue to move through this journey, don't fear and don't get weary. Make sure you are constantly holding on to the shield of faith in your life by praying, by reading his word. Make sure it's always before you so that you can take whatever Satan throws out at you. Listen, we're not going to be perfect, but we can be protected. And may we allow our faith to drive us closer to Jesus. One of my favorite scriptures that found in Isaiah that I love, and I wanted just to share this with you guys to kind of close everything, is Isaiah 54, verse 17. It says, "No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord." So how does that work? How does that happen? Our faith. How's your faith? Are you ready for those arrows on fire coming from every direction? Are you ready for what Satan has so that you can fight back with the shield of faith? Will you bow your heads? Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. You are an amazing God, a powerful God, and we recognize that in you, that we have this strength and power to withstand and to stand against Satan's schemes. And a part of that is our faith. And Father, right now, my prayer is that our faith is on fire, passionate, so that we can withstand Satan's attacks. And maybe we have neglected our faith. Maybe we have neglected our relationship with you. And today's the day where we make a decision to actively trust, to actively pursue you. So I pray that we would make that choice today, that we would take up the shield of faith. So Father, work in our life today, in our hearts, and may we respond faithfully to you. We love you. Just for a moment, with your heads bowed, and if you're at home watching, just bow your heads, close your eyes, just for a moment. Maybe today is the day where you just say, "God, I'm tired of living and fighting based on feeling and circumstance. I want to give everything over to you, and I want you to be my faith. I want you to be my strength. I want you to be my joy." So right where you're at, whatever is going on, if maybe today is just the day to say, "God, I need you," and you've never asked him to come into your life, I pray that today the gospel would be real, that you recognize Jesus died on the cross, shedding his blood for the forgiveness of sin for all the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. We recognize that there is power in the blood of Jesus that cleanses us, cleanses our hearts from sin. And that today we can say, "Forgive me," and we can be forgiven and given life today because Jesus is alive. Or maybe today, you're a believer, but just not walking the way you should. And maybe today is that day where you say, "Jesus, I'm not going to be perfect, but do want to just turn my life back towards you. I know I'm going to mess up, but I want and need your grace today as I try to live out my faith." So whatever your decision is today, just for a moment, ask God to work, move in your life. Father, thank you for hearing our prayers, for knowing our hearts, and loving us still. Our prayers that we would trust you, pursue you, and may you continue to move and work in our lives. Use us every day for your glory. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.